Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Are you facing circumstances and questions that are simply overwhelming to your very soul? Well, friend, when you turn your eyes from those circumstances to Jesus Christ, the perspective changes dramatically. Stay with us next on Daily in the Word as we consider Christ with Pastor Paul Chappell. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. I don't know how this broadcast comes to you in terms of what circumstances or what questions you may be facing. Perhaps you're facing despair or sorrow. Perhaps you're facing tragedy or overwhelming situations. Perhaps you're looking at a wall of questions and you don't know how you're going to get through or how will you make it another day. Well, friend, today we want you to consider Jesus Christ, because he is not only the answer to your soul's deepest questions, he is the only one who will sustain you and strengthen you by his grace through whatever you're facing today. And so, in the next few moments and for the next few broadcasts, we will consider Christ. Be sure to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You'll find a wealth of resources at our website that will encourage you in your spiritual growth and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. But now let's turn our hearts to God's Word and begin with this message from Hebrews 12 and verse 3, consider Christ.
Political candidates will ask us at every turn to consider them. They will ask us to consider their policies. They will ask us to consider their past record. They will ask us to consider their running partner. They're going to time and time again through television, radio, and the internet do their very best to engage us and to ask us to consider them. But this morning, as we gather here as a body of believers, I am going to ask you to join with me this year in considering Christ. Consider Christ in all that we say and in all that we do. We are going to consider the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to consider his wonderful works. We are going to consider his wonderful name. We are going to consider his mighty parables and his great love for us. I'm not diminishing the role of Christians in supporting godly candidates for political office. I believe you should vote. You should be involved. But I believe the great goal of any Bible-believing church is to exalt the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I challenge you this morning to consider Christ. As we consider Christ, I bring your attention today to Hebrews chapter 12. And I challenge you this morning, in the first place, to consider his position, to consider who Jesus Christ really is. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 and verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I'm afraid that many people today do not really consider who he is. They know a little bit about God, a little bit about Jesus, but they're not considering Jesus in their decisions. They're not considering Jesus Christ in their day-to-day life. Many people do not understand that he is truly God who came down in the flesh, who died for their sins, that as the Son of God, he is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. Recently, a polling company by the name of Kelton Research conducted a poll where they contacted 1,000 people to ask them questions about God and their basic understanding of God, the Ten Commandments, and other such subjects. Along with the questions, they asked secular thoughts and questions as well. And one of the questions they asked was about food. And it was an interesting contrast to find that over 80% of Americans understood that a Big Mac had all beef patties, two all beef patties, and pickles. And 82% of the folks understood about the Big Mac. Unfortunately, less than 60%, in fact, less than 50% of the people were able to tell seven of the Ten Commandments. It appeared that Americans knew more about food than they did about the truths of God. I'm saying today, all of us need to consider Christ and consider the Lord in the new year. As we consider His position, we notice in this passage today that Jesus Christ is the preeminent one. He is the one above all others that is worthy of our consideration, for the Bible says He is the author and finisher of our faith. The word author indicates He's the originator of our faith. He is the first. The Bible says He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Acts chapter 5 and verse 31, the Bible says, Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17 tells us, And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. I say to you this morning, Jesus Christ is the preeminent one, worthy of our consideration, worthy of our worship. Evangelist Billy Sunday was preaching one day, and he said there are 256 names in the Bible for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I suppose He had 256 names because He is infinitely beyond our ability to describe Him in one name. 256 times the Holy Spirit spoke of Him as the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright morning star. Time and time again, Jesus Christ is lifted up as the preeminent one. I pray this year we will lift up our eyes and that we will consider Christ over and over again. He is the preeminent one. But I want you to notice this morning also, He is the perfect one. The reason we are going to consider Christ is because He and He alone is perfect. He and He alone is our perfect example. The Bible says He is the author of our faith. That is, He is the originator of our faith. But it also says He is the finisher of our faith. The word finisher indicates He is the perfecter of our faith. He is the one who will bring it finally to its completion, to its fullest development. He's the completor of our faith. Mark this down, my friend. What God starts, God finishes. He will do His good work in you. If you are a child of God, you have been born again, His Spirit resides in you, then you, my friend, are a work in progress. And I want you to understand, He is the perfect one. He is the perfecter of our faith. I want you to know this morning that His ways are perfect. We may not always understand His ways. We do not understand why He allows trials into our lives in order to be the perfecter of our lives. His ways are not our ways. Sometimes His ways seem mysterious to us. But the Bible says in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4, He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Psalm 18 and verse 30, As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. How I thank God that His ways are perfect. You can trust in His ways. But I also thank God that His work is perfect. I mean, He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Christ has already run this race of faith. He has already conquered for us. He was tempted in every way, but He never sinned. You see, He's the perfect example, and that is why we consider the Lord Jesus Christ. He finishes what He begins. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end, and He alone can see us through to victory. By the way, that's what He wants to do with your spiritual life. That's what He will do with this church. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. One day when we see Jesus Christ face to face, then, my friend, we will see the fulfillment of this fact that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Ephesians 5:27 speaks of it, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What I'm saying to you this morning is that Jesus Christ is not only the preeminent one, He's the perfect one, He's the perfecting one who's bringing His will into your life. His image is becoming your life and mine as we grow in the new year. How many of you have ever seen that bumper sticker that says, be patient with me, God is not finished yet? Have you ever seen that one? How many of you would recognize and would readily admit with me this morning, God is not finished with me yet? God is not finished with me yet. There's not a person here today that has arrived spiritually. Ruth Bell Graham, several months before her passing, she was speaking to a group of ladies. And she said to the ladies in her devotional time, she said, I saw a sign on the side of the highway the other day, and I have asked that they would take these words and place them on my gravestone. And here were the words, end of construction, thank you for your patience. End of construction, thank you for your patience. Someone says, well, I know some Christians that don't act very Christian-like. And someone says, I know a church member that isn't what they should be. And someone says, well, I know some people that just, they disappoint me sometimes. Well, I've got news for all of you. The fact is that Jesus Christ is still working, and someone may be rebellious. God has a way of chastising. He's not finished with His work. God will keep working in someone's life through various different ways because He is not only the author, He is the author and He is the finisher of our faith. And so we must consider His position. He's the preeminent one. He is the perfect one. Notice secondly, if you would with me, His pattern. Consider His pattern. To consider the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might emulate and follow His pattern in our own personal lives. I want you to see this, if you would, back in our text, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2 once again. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, notice this phrase, endured the cross. Would you say those words with me, please? Endured the cross. Once again, endured the cross. This is the pattern of Jesus Christ. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. Notice in verse number 3, for consider Him that endured the contradiction of sinners. Now, as we study the pattern of Jesus Christ, we begin to sense immediately that He had great victory over temptation. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is our pattern for victory over temptation. Many of you have set goals for the new year. Some of you have set Bible reading goals and goals to bring you closer to the Savior. And the minute you do that, the devil wants to fight against you. He wants to push you away from reaching those goals. Well, Jesus Christ certainly saw the joy that was before Him. He had a goal. We'll talk about that in a moment. But between the beginning of His earthly ministry and the completing of the work of redemption, He had to endure certain things. My friend, from the day you became a Christian until the day you see Jesus Christ, there will be certain things you must endure. And yet the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is our perfect pattern if we will have victory. Now we find a great synopsis of this pattern in Matthew chapter 4. I invite you to turn there or to look in your notes at Matthew chapter 4. Because in Matthew 4, Jesus not only demonstrated that He could not sin, but He also shows us that He is the pattern for us if we will overcome trials and temptations. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1 says, then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh Him up into the holy city, and seeth Him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto Him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh Him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth Him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now here we see the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I want you to mark down, and mark it down this morning, if Satan had the audacity, if Satan had the nerve, if you will, to come against the Holy Son of God and to endeavor to cause Jesus Christ to worship Him, I'm telling you, my friend, Satan will fight you in the new year. And we must follow the pattern of Jesus if we'll have victory. I want every single adult to hear this morning. I want every married couple to hear this morning. There are three ways you will overcome the temptation of Satan. There are three ways that you will have victory in the new year. And they're in your notes, and I want you to look at these this morning and see them from the Bible, if you will, please. Notice, first of all, Jesus was led by the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit. The Bible tells us in verse number 1 that Jesus Christ was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, if you have been born again, then you have received the Holy Spirit of God. You have been born again by the Spirit. And as Jesus was led by the Spirit, so we too must be led by the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we would consider Christ, we must be led of the Spirit. Watch this. He will always direct you to the will of Jesus Christ. He will always cause you to consider what Christ would have you to do. Notice number 2 in your notes. Jesus Christ was not only led by the Spirit, but Jesus Christ prayed and fasted. In verse number 2 it says, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Someone said, but wasn't he weak in his physical body? Without exception, he was 100% man. He was weak in his physical body. But was he powerful beyond the fact that he was the Son of God? Was there a closeness to the Father? Was there a great strength spiritually in his life from prayer and fasting? Without question, there was. For the Bible is very clear that there are certain miracles and certain power that comes about by prayer and by fasting. I heard of a pastor who was going to fast for a period of time and pray. And his daughter was worried that she did not want the family to do that. They found out later what it boiled down to. Her name was Gina. Gina was only 5, but she had figured out that fasting meant no eating. And she liked to eat. And she said, Dad, I don't want you to fast. Let's not do this. And he said, but sweetheart, there are many people in the Bible that fasted. She said, but Dad, she said, I don't want to fast. She said, Dad, if you fast, you'll die. We have to eat food. He said, honey, there are many people in the Bible who fasted. And they prayed and fasted. And Gina thought about it for a moment. She said, yeah, but Dad, they died. Now, folks, I don't recommend that you fast to the point of putting yourself in physical harm's way. But this past Wednesday night, I preached a full message on fasting. And we learned in Matthew 17 and verse 21, Jesus said, howbeit, this kind cometh about only by prayer and by fasting. There are certain answers to prayer that only come when we come to the Lord earnestly. When we say, Lord, more than I want this, I want you. More than I desire this, I desire you. And all that we would understand Christian fasting, really at the root of it, is the hunger for God. It is a homesickness for God. It is saying, God, more than anything, I want to be close to you. Jesus Christ was full of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Jesus Christ was praying and fasting. But notice the third and most important key for us today, and that is he quoted the Scriptures. Jesus Christ, when he was tempted, quoted the Scriptures. The Bible says in Matthew 4:3, when the tempter said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said unto him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, as Satan tempted the Lord Jesus, Jesus quoted the word of God back to Satan. Now, let me help you this morning understand there is no victory over sin without the power of the sword of the Spirit, without the power of the Word of God. When we're helping folks overcome their addictions and their problems, and when we're trying to help someone overcome anger or alcohol or lust or whatever the case might be, we always recommend several Bible verses. Many times we write them on a 3x5 card. We place them in our pocket. Someone else places them in their pocket, and they begin to read the Scriptures. And when the temptation comes, we challenge you to quote the Scripture and to turn away from the temptation. Why? The Bible says in Psalm 119 verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Psalm 119 and verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. My friend, help yourself this year and get filled up with the word of God. His victory over temptation came as he quoted the Scriptures back to Satan. Now, if you would notice then, his victory is not only over temptation, but Jesus Christ, as our pattern, had victory over the trials of this life. Notice this, if you would, in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 12. For consider him that endured contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, notice the phrase again. He endured the contradiction of sinners. Now, please try to catch this very important truth. There are times in our lives when the process of enduring is the very work of God that purifies our faith. You see, I don't like what I'm going through right now. God may be putting you through this to strengthen you. See, I don't like some of these situations I'm in. The fact that you will endure will be God's way of bringing you to maturity. Notice, if you would, in James chapter 1 and verse number 2 in your notes. Look here, young people, look at this. James chapter 1 and verse number 2. The Bible says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." This means the trials. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Now, my friend, God wants us to endure as Jesus endured. Consider him who endured. You say, "Well, I'm going through some trials. I'm going to quit on my marriage. I'm going to quit on my church attendance. I'm just sick and tired of this. I'm going to go somewhere else and do what I want to do." You're going to miss the lesson that God is trying to bring into your life. I'm not an expert on domestic chores. But I do know a little bit about getting some things done. And I know that a washing machine has at least two or three or four cycles that it must go through in order to complete the job. And I know that in my life in the past, there have been some times when I just felt like I didn't have time to wait on the washing machine. I had to get some things taken care of. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And there have been a time or two when I looked down in and there had already been some water in there and then some soap and then it spun around. And normally it has to go through the final process of maybe rinsing and then spinning again. But on occasion or two, I have taken some articles out of the washing machine while they still were filled with soap. I have thrown them into the dryer. I have rapidly thrown them on my body, gone off to my day, and that's when the rash broke out. Because little crunchy pieces of Tide on your body is not the prescription for a real comfortable day. And so the fact of the matter is that I've had some difficulty in my life because I have rushed the washing machine. Listen to me. Don't rush God's washing machine. Let patience have its complete work. Let God do His work in you. And I challenge you and encourage you this morning, endure as you consider Christ. But notice finally this morning, not only will we consider His position, not only will we consider His pattern, but I want you to notice thirdly, we must consider His passion. We must consider His passion. Notice if you would in verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross." Please notice this. Who for the joy that was set before Him. Now, I want you to realize, my friend, there was nothing that was attractive about an earthly ministry to Jesus Christ. To leave heaven's glory was not attractive. There was nothing about the cross that was attractive. It was painful. It would be a great difficulty and a great sorrow to Jesus Christ to bear the sins of the world. But there was something in Him that was a greater passion. And the greater passion was that He might bring glory to His Father. And so for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. And the great joy that was set before Him was that He would bring glory to the Father. Notice in your notes, John 17, 1. "These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee."
Friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're currently in a series entitled Consider Christ. Friend, we would invite you to consider, is Jesus Christ in your life as your Savior? If you have heard today's message and you would like to make Jesus Christ your personal Savior, to place your faith in Him, I hope you will bow your head and heart wherever you may be in the privacy of this moment and place your faith in Jesus Christ. Invite Him into your life to save you from your sin. Trust Him as your Savior and claim His gift of eternal life. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We would love to hear from you if you have made that decision as a result of Daily in the Word. We'd love to get back in touch with you and help you grow in God's grace and in that relationship. You can contact us when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find links to the current radio series as well as the podcast. You can perhaps refer a friend or subscribe to Daily in the Word through your phone or device and take it with you. Also, you'll find links to many other resources that will help you with your spiritual growth, including a Daily in the Word subscription email that will come to your email inbox every single day with an encouragement from Pastor Chapel as well as a daily scripture reading. You'll also find links to Dr. Chapel's blog at paulchapel.com. And don't forget, we're going to Alaska and you're invited. The Alaska Cruise with Dr. Paul Chapel is August 9th through 16th, 2014. 1 week of the most beautiful environment you've ever spent time in, along with some of the most wonderful people you could meet, Christian friends from all over the country, joining us August 9th through 16th with Dr. Chapel, some great teaching and preaching throughout the week, and Christian Fellowship 2014, August 9th through 16th. You can find out more information at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.